Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
You can't beat the sound of a contented cat. That's why veterinary surgeon and natural pet food pioneer John Burns developed Burns Pet Nutrition. Because he knows the positive impact a natural diet has on our beloved pets. And our premium cat food is designed to satisfy even the most finicky eaters. For natural, no nasty, wholesome recipes, choose Burns Pet Nutrition. Available from veterinary clinics and all good pet shops across Ireland.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
2010 would be the first time that we were getting reports of a very violent tug, but also at the time described as a nobody.
This is to Robbie Lawler, boys, rest in peace.
We came to realise that this was a really serious, very violent player in the gangland scene.
Fair play to you.
If he was to pass away in these circumstances, some of his alleged victims would feel that it would definitely be a case of justice denied.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs, and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe. He's due to face kidnap charges later this year in the UK and has been a central and violent figure in the Drogheda feud. But it seems gang boss Cornelius Price is unlikely to ever face up to his crimes. Price, whose gang are suspected of a number of murders, including that of Willie Maugham and his pregnant girlfriend Anna Varslevain, is currently in critical condition in hospital after being struck down by a terminal illness. Months short of his 40th birthday, Price has left a bloody mark on Ireland's underworld. And today I'm talking to journalist Ken Foy about the terrifying past of one of the most notorious gangland figures in modern criminal history. We discuss the County Meath compound where Price lived, surrounded by his underlings. His role in the escalating violence in Drogheda, which culminated in the brutal murder of teenager Cian Mulready Woods. And we talk about the day he celebrated the death of rival mobster Robbie Lawler by toasting his demise. This is Crime World Extra, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Do you know how Cornelius Price is, or what's the latest on his situation in hospital, Ken?
Cornelius Price, we understand, is still very gravely ill in a Welsh hospital. It's understood that he's on a life support machine, suffering from serious complications. He's been in an intensive care unit in the hospital for almost a month at this stage.
He's due to go on trial in December, and I think I read in a story that you had written that that is his 40th birthday. It's looking unlikely that he's going to make that trial at this point.
Yes, he's on trial with a number of his associates, and also a female as well. There's about half a dozen of them facing very serious charges. It's in relation to basically a kidnap plot, conspiracy to kidnap two other criminals who are from the London area, and an undercover police operation in the UK uncovered this in the summer of last year. And it was a very detailed investigation, lots of phone evidence, and I think there was a feeling of certain confidence that there would be serious convictions in the case. But the fact that he is gravely ill means, the trial is due to take place in December, but that does seem unlikely now. However, in his case, but there is a number of co-defendants, including some of his most senior and trusted associates. So it is likely that the trial might go ahead without him anyway.
So let's just go back a little bit to last summer and what Cornelius Price is doing in the UK. Is he living in London at this point, or is he there for a particular purpose, which is suspected to be this kidnap?
Well, Cornelius Price was released from prison in Ireland back in May 2019. And he had spent a number of months between the UK and Ireland up until, I suppose, the draw of the feud intensified out of all control with the murder of Keane Mulready Woods back in January of last year. After that happened, Price basically moved to a very remote place, a town basically almost in the middle of nowhere, where one of his associates had a plot of land. This is a town called Stourport on Severn. So when he was out in the UK, in the months between him leaving Ireland in the aftermath of the Keane Mulready Woods and his arrest in July of last year, it seems he was making a big name for himself in the UK. Other criminals in the locality had found out, I suppose, through the media more so than anything, and also word of mouth, I guess, that this guy was a serious criminal player, and they were flocking to this property that he had. He was also kind of a respected figure within the traveller community, and was refereeing bare knuckle boxing and that kind of stuff. And ultimately, this, you know, he continued to be involved in very serious organised criminality, and that's what led to his arrest in July of last year. And he was in custody then. He was charged and was in custody right up until, I think it was around March or April, when he was released on bail to face trial in December.
So now, let's just place him, if we can, and where he sits in that Drogheda feud. He's a native of Gormanstown in County Meath. We've often described where he lives in recent years in Gormanstown as a compound. It's a big site which is surrounded and very difficult to penetrate. And I think we photographed in the past from the sky to get a bird's eye view of it. But is that where he was born and grew up, or how does he come to live there?
He's in his younger years, he would have spent a lot of time in the English city of Rochdale. But also, his family would have moved between there and North County Dublin and what we know as the compound in Gormanstown. And he eventually settled, spending a lot more time in Ireland once he was in his early 20s. But he also always travelling back to the UK. But I suppose with Cornelius Price, we have to go all the way back to around 2010, where would be the first time that we were getting reports of a very violent tug, but also at the time described as a nobody. But what happened is relations of his, very notorious criminals, two brothers, they were actually shot dead within 6 months of each other, John Paul Joyce and Tommy Joyce from Coolock, were main players in a very serious cocaine and heroin distribution network, a major gang. They had been one of the main suppliers in the capital's north side for a number of years before they were shot dead. And obviously, with them gone, it left room for somebody to come in. And that person was Cornelius Price. So in the immediate years after the deaths of the two brothers, we were getting reports of, you know, there was isolated incidents of serious assaults, maybe shots being fired into doors of houses up Balbriggan area, swords. And more, you know, we were hearing more and more about this Cornelius Price. But I guess it wasn't until 2013 that he really started to be shown that he was a gangland figure of serious substance. Back in November 2013, Price had been in a fairly vicious feud with another North County Dublin family, basically. They were the Whitehouses. And Price and his associates were in a bitter dispute with this other crew. And I suppose it really came to big attention when there was a very serious violent disorder incident outside a primary school in Balbriggan, which almost led to a number of children being knocked over. And this was probably the most serious incident involving this feud. There had been a number of tit-for-tat incidents, damage of properties and serious assaults. But this was a situation that almost led to some children being killed and armed Gardaí patrolling outside the school. And within a month of that, there was a horrific incident involving Cornelius Price and his close associate, long-time associate, Owen Maguire, where it's alleged that they lured a number of members of the White House faction to a house, and they were slashed with Stanley blades. And actually, the scene at the time when we were reporting on it back in the Herald, a senior source had described it like something like Reservoir Dogs. It was that gruesome. So ultimately, Price was charged in relation to both those matters, the violent disorder outside the primary school and the Stanley blade attack. It was a number of years later he was actually cleared in relation to both of those matters after trial by jury. But he certainly, from that point on, which is what, it's 8 years ago now at this stage, that's when we came to realise that this was a real, really serious, very violent player in the gangland scene.
And now Cornelius Price is in his early 30s at that stage. In 2014, so in the kind of months after these incidents you're talking about, Benny Whitehouse is actually shot dead.
Yes, after Benny Whitehouse was shot dead after dropping his children to school. Again, a horrific incident, 9:20 a.m. in the morning when this planned murder happened. The chief suspect for the shooting is actually one of Price's closest associates. He's a hitman from England that Price would have grown up with. And in fact, while Price was never suspected of being a gunman in the horrific murder of Benny Whitehouse, which is unsolved, by the way, there's never been a charge in it, Price was arrested as part of the investigation for withholding information. So he was certainly someone that, at the very least, Gardaí believe had intimate knowledge of what was one of the most shocking murders, I suppose, in recent years. There's not a lot said about it now, but for a man to be gunned down at that hour of the morning outside a primary school was just truly shocking. And I suppose this was all in an era before the Kinnane-Hutch feud had kicked off as well, so it was...
I recall not knowing exactly who Benny Whitehouse was at the time or much about him, but hearing that his murder was very significant and it was going to lead to retaliation, and it was one of those murders that wasn't just going to be parked. So Cornelius Price has arrived as such when it comes to gangland at this point. He's big time known on the scene and he's a pretty volatile, scary character, and in tow with Owen Maguire, who we'll come on to later, who's also a very significant character from the Drogheda area. But in a year after Benny Whitehouse's murder, 2015, Willie Maugham and Anna Verse Levine, I'm probably pronouncing her name incorrectly, tell me about them, who they were and what happened there.
Just to say, so in relation to Willie Maugham and his then pregnant partner, Anna, They were last seen alive at Price's compound back in April 2015. At this stage, Price had been charged in relation to the other matters, and he had been on bail. And there was a bizarre incident just 3 months before this terrible double murder of that tragic couple. Price, as part of his bail conditions, had been required to live in Clondalkin, to keep him basically out of the particular area where the Gormanston, Balbriggan, Drogheda, all these areas where he was causing such terror. So he was put in address in Clondalkin. But what he did back in January 2015 was he suspected of staging an attempted hit on himself, where it's suspected that one of his associates went to fire a number of shots at him as he drove into his house. There was actually even they left a couple of bullet casings at the scene. But the ultimate effect of that incident was that it meant Price was able to plead for his bail conditions to be changed, and he was able to move back to his compound in Gormanston, where a number of criminals and other people and some people who were down on their luck lived. And Willie Maughan and his partner had been living in the area, but in the compound. The belief is that they wanted to move back to their family home in Talla, but after having lived in that locality for a number of months, they had intimate knowledge of much of the gang's activities, including the murder of Benny Whitehouse. And the suspicion is that because they were looking to get out, to move out, and with the knowledge that they had, the gang decided to brutally murder them, and their bodies have never been located.
So just to describe this compound place, it's an area of land that where Cornelius Price has his own, be it caravan or structure that he lives in. And there are other caravans and mobile homes around it that people come and go from. So gang members almost live within this compound with him.
Yes, family members, other gang members. And oftentimes, it's a situation where people down under luck have often been taken in by Price. And some of these people have been described as gophers or modern-day slaves. In fact, earlier this year, one of these gophers, he's kind of an interesting character in a way. Stephen Gibbons is his name. He was nicknamed Gibby. He was essentially a slave for the gang. He received 7 years for possession of a very old machine gun at the Circuit Court in Meath during the summer. But this guy would be kind of almost typical of some of the people that Price used for his enterprises. If he didn't do what he was told, he was liable to get a severe beating. There was a famous incident where Price was in jail in Clover Hill Prisons, and Gibbons was tasked with going in with a mobile phone to the Price organisation. But Gibbons, not being the smartest criminal in the world, when he arrived in, he got past into the visiting area. He forgot the name of the person he was due to meet to hand over the phone, and subsequently got caught with the phone and a small amount of drugs, which were to be destined for the organisation. So a lot of the people the criminals that would have been on that compound certainly were not criminal masterminds. They were people that were really down on their luck. They weren't getting a proper wage or anything like that for their criminal activities. And this guy, Gibbons, would be certainly a prime example of that.
And Willie Maugham and his girlfriend, Anna, what's Willie Maugham's background? I know his family have been very active in campaigning for, you know, Gardaí to continue in the hunt, the search. Their bodies have never been found, Ken, isn't that right?
Their bodies have never been found, despite a number of searches. And I suppose one of the more detailed searches, it was just a couple of months after their disappearance. Their disappearance at this stage hadn't been classified as murder, but the big suspicion was that it was a double murder. So there was a quarry near Price's compound, which had been used, in fact, you know, for storing weapons and drugs. And in fact, in the course of a search for this missing couple, Gardaí uncovered a sizable amount of illegal drugs. But on one occasion that they were searching there, and there was involved dozens of officers, Price was seen kind of at this cordon, sneering at the Gardaí and muttering away and just having a great laugh, really.
Now, he may have got off the other charges we discussed, but in January 2014, he drove his car at a Garda, and in February 2017, he was charged with endangering a Garda. And I think he went to jail for a couple of years at that point in 2017. So the investigation is ongoing into the whereabouts of Willie Maugham and his girlfriend, Anna. There is a feud brewing in Drogheda with his associate, Owen Maguire, and he goes to jail, where he's not a very popular prisoner. He seems to rub everyone up the wrong way in prison.
Yes, particularly the jail authorities who caught him with illegal mobile phones a number of times. He was suspected of, despite being locked up, suspected of continuing to bark out orders from his prison cell and threaten people that owed his gang money for drugs and people that he was starting to believe were touts, etc. But probably one of the most significant things that happened while he served his 3-year prison sentence was, I suppose, because of his activities, he often got moved around within the prison system as a disciplinary mechanism. And it brought him down to Cork Prison. I'm not sure if, I think it was some point in 28, probably summer of 2018. And another very troublesome inmate was in Cork Prison at the time. And this was Robbie Lawler. And a serious altercation happened between the two men, which reflected what was starting to brew at the same time in Drogheda, because Robbie Lawler would have been connected with a gang led by two brothers in Drogheda who were feuding with Cornelius Price's very close associate, Owen Maguire, and his associates. And this altercation in Cork Prison, certainly the authorities were loath to have those two criminals anywhere near each other again. So, like, Price continued to be a very troublesome inmate until he was released from jail in May 2019. And it is telling that once he came, there was major fears. You'll remember it yourself, Nicola, as well. There was major concern among the Gardaí, and everyone was a bit tense about the release of this guy. And so it proved once he was out. Within weeks, because there had been, Owen Maguire had been shot the previous summer and left paralysed, but there had been no real revenge from his faction. But within weeks of, maybe call it a coincidence, but as the Gardaí certainly weren't at the time, there was a number of really serious attempts on the rival gang leaders, attempted shootings that they were very lucky to survive with. And ultimately, then in August 2019, so it's, what, 3 months after Price is out, the first murder of the feud happens when a low-level junior member of the rival gang, the anti-Maguire gang, a chap called Keith Brannigan, was shot dead at a caravan park. And again, all this activity during the summer and leading up to the shooting in August 2019, there had been a feeling that the Maguire gang had been on the back foot ever since Owen had been shot and left paralysed. But once Price was released back out, the tables completely turned, and it discontinued as well with the murder then of another, a senior man in the background of the anti-Maguire gang, Richie Carberry, who was shot dead in County Meath in a planned assassination in November of 2019. So coming up to Christmas, during that period, the Maguire faction were essentially 2-0 up in terms of murders, and Gardaí were then faced with another headache, with Robbie Lawler due to be released and he from jail himself, and this happened just days before Christmas, and you had a situation where Price at that particular time was in England. But Lawler came out of jail and was issuing threats to have Price's mother murdered. And this led Price to come back. And that Christmas, New Year period going into 2020, things were just so very, very tense in Drogheda because of the situation, and North Dublin, and Gardaí were braced for very, very serious consequences. But I don't think anyone expected what was going to happen with the absolutely grotesque and savage murder of a 17-year-old boy in mid-January.
And there's people before the courts in connection with the murder of Cian Mulready Woods, but we can say that his body was dismembered and it was found over a period of time in locations that were significant to the feud. I think Cornelius Price at one point, during the hunt for the remains of Mulready Woods, that it was around his compound up in Gormanston that the Gardaí were concentrating some of the efforts to find the unfortunate child's head.
Well, I believe at the time Gardaí had received intelligence that It's like something off a Mexican cartel series that Keane's torso was due to be delivered to Price's compound. And as part of, they carried out a number of searches, and as part of those searches, they actually uncovered that firearm that his associate, Stephen Gibbons, is serving that seven-year sentence. But the torso, in fact, was never found at the compound. It's believed that the criminals, seeing that the heat that was coming on them from Gardaí, actually buried it just a couple of hundred yards from the scene in the house in Rathmullen Park where the teenager was killed. So the torso was never delivered there. But after that, Price basically left Ireland and has not really returned since.
Now, a lot of all these grotesque killings and feuds that we're discussing have been played out on social media. This has been something that has been very particular to the groupings up in Drogheda and indeed to Cornelius Price himself. Robbie Lawler was famously challenged on the street by some rivals, and we can hear a little bit of that audio.
Yes! That's only the start of it! That's only the start of it! That's only the start of it, Robbie!
So that shows how these guys were not only threatening one another, but they were also finding time, really, to put these incidents up on social media for everybody's entertainment. Now, moving forward, when Robbie Lawler was murdered up in Belfast in April of that year, of 2020, Cornelius Price himself put up a little celebratory video, didn't he, from his new home in the UK.
Did the video? Yes. It says to Robbie Lawler, boys, rest in peace. He's not even worth saying rest in peace, but fair play to you, dear. There you go, boys.
Captain Morgan.
Were you shocked when you saw that now?
I have to say, like yourself, Nicola, having seen so much how social media has been used by these criminal gangs, and particularly in relation to this feud, I can't say I was shocked, but it's a sense of having a kind of a wry smile. Price was he was drinking a Captain Morgan's, and he was making no secret of the fact that he was absolutely delighted that that Robbie Lawler had been shot dead.
He looks rather smug in the video as he downs the pint. And actually his voice, you know, isn't it always the way these guys, you sort of don't expect them to have sort of those squeaky voices?
He's got a very distinctive voice, all right, Nicola. Yeah.
Am I alone there with that? But anyway, at that point, he's cheering the murder of Robbie Lawler. He looks like the cat who's got the cream. And in the months that follow, things go downhill. It's sort of a lesson to us all, maybe not to gloat at another's misfortune. He's caught during the kidnap plot. He is given bail but facing trial, which would likely lead to his conviction. And now he has been essentially rushed to hospital where he remains in critical condition.
Yes. There is grave, I suppose, concerns for his future health. He's been in an ICU ward for a month.
I suppose I'll finish by saying that there never seems to be a honeymoon ending to any of these guys' lives. There's always an inevitability that they don't go off into the sunset. Now, nobody could have foreseen that Price would end up with a critical illness, but nonetheless, he was certainly facing an end to his reign one way or another.
Well, I know from speaking to people who are close to some of his alleged victims that if he is perhaps to die a death in hospital and not face justice, even if it's, you know, at this stage, how likely it is. Well, the Gardaí are continuing to very actively investigate the disappearance of that missing couple, and it's led to multiple arrests, and many of them are very close and often female associates of Price. But in relation to his illness and being in hospital, there is a sense that from some of his alleged victims that I've spoken to, that they would feel that if he was to die You know, if a life support machine, for example, is switched off and he's to die almost the death of, for want of a better word, a normal person in a hospital ward, rather than even face the justice in relation to the kidnap plot, which if he would be convicted of, the UK has very much heftier sentences than we have here in relation to Ireland, in relation to organised crime. He could be facing anything up to possibly 16 to 18 years if being convicted of being the mastermind of that plot out there. So there is a feeling that if he was to pass away in these circumstances, some of his alleged victims would feel that it would definitely be a case of justice denied.
As always, Ken Foy, thank you very much.
Thanks, Nicola.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com, produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. If you like the podcast and love true crime, why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.